Cue the fancy intro music. This is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom gives you the tips, tools, and resources you need to define and achieve success on your own terms, so you can make great money doing what you love and have the time and freedom to enjoy it. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Lisa Robin Young. Let's get started. Business model. Some of the creative types just tuned me out. Some of you might start feeling your eyes glaze over when you hear those words. But really, it's much simpler than it might seem. And that's what I want to tackle for you today. A business model, at least the way we do it here at Creative Freedom, is simply a plan to make money doing what you love in a way that's true to you without the overwhelm and the burnout. We are all about building a profitable, sustainable approach to doing business in a way that works for you, what comes naturally to you, instead of fighting against your natural tendencies. Choosing a business model will give you more clarity about your offers and how you'll be making money. But before I share the top three business models for creative entrepreneurs, let me address the enormous elephant in the room. Fear. Now, I know there are chaotic infusions out there already feeling anxious because we're talking about the business side of things. There are coaches and trainers out there who wouldn't even say business model, even if that's what they're talking about, because they don't want to turn off their audience. But here's the thing. You're operating in a business world, and you need to know the business lingo, even if you don't like it. You don't call peas green plant-based orbs of nutritional value or magical green protein pearls, do you? I don't. You call them peas because that's what they are. Even if you don't like them, you still call them peas. So we are talking about business models today. And let me reinforce for you right now that you can do this. If you've already got a business that's producing any income, then you've already got a business model, whether you like it or not. And that's liking it or not, it's a whole other story, right? This is not hard. At least it doesn't have to be. And I really want to drive that point home. You can add lots of layers of complication to it if you want to. Fusions, I'm talking to you, because I've done it. But it can also be as simple as saying, this is who I am. This is why I do what I do. This is who I serve. This is what I offer. And this is how I deliver it. Bam, there's your business model. In fact, that's exactly how we talk about business models in the Creative Freedom Coaching Program. That's your Creative Freedom business model equation right there. You plus why plus who plus what plus how. What matters to you, why you do what you do, who you're here to serve, what you have to offer, and how you deliver it. It is that simple. So choosing a business model, like choosing a niche from our previous episode, can also produce a certain level of fear because of the unknowns. Things like, what if people don't buy? What if this is wrong for me? What if I'm not good enough? What if I'm not successful? Whatever successful is for you. Oh my God, what if I fail? What if people hate it? What if they hate me? What if I end up a laughingstock in my industry? Okay, whoa there, Nelly. Let's take a breath and let's go the other way. What if people do buy? What if this turns out great for you? What if this is a perfect fit for you right now? Oh my gosh, what if you're ridiculously successful and there's a long line of people out the door waiting to work with you? What if they adore your offer? What if they adore you? What if you end up on the cover of every magazine and media outlet in your industry? What if you become a rising superstar sensation? Does that feel a little scary too? It might. Some people fear success as much, if not more, than failure. But here's the thing. Like my copywriter Jackie says, fear is only final if you make it final. You're not married to anything, including the business model that you pick for yourself. You get to try it out for a while, and then if it doesn't work, pivot. That is the power of having creative freedom. You get to build your business in a way that works for you, for how you're wired to work. And if it ain't working, you can change it. That's what I've done after 25 plus years of being in the business world. I've pivoted, I don't even know how many times anymore. Just like niching, choosing a business model isn't about limiting your business, nor is it about limiting your potential. It's about making sure that from the very beginning, you're making money and building a business that works for the kind of creative that you are. It works with you, not against you. When we work on business models inside the Creative Freedom Incubator, we use the business model equation you just heard me talk about. Today's exploration really focuses on the second half, the part that most people think of when it comes to business models, the what and the how. What are you offering? How are you delivering it? So we're going to assume that you've already done the work on the first part of this equation, that you know your strengths and challenges, you know why you do what you do, and you know who you're here to serve. If you're not clear on any of that, because that's the hardest piece, quite frankly, then check out one of our previous episodes or join us in the incubator. Whether you're looking for a DIY path to business excellence, a community of fellow creatives to learn from and be encouraged by, or you just want hands-on help and strategic coaching inside your business, the Creative Freedom Incubator has you covered. And you can learn more about that at the website, creativefreedomshow.com. So let's jump in to these top three business models for creative entrepreneurs. Number one is the service-based business. And this is exactly what it sounds like. Your income is derived from the services you provide to your people, whether that's coaching, freelancing, graphic design, therapy, healing, tattoo art, tarot card readings, performance art, consulting, painting murals, interior design. I could ramble up a whole long list, okay? Somebody pays you for the work that you're doing and you provide that service to them in return, okay? And services are generally one-off, personalized, or custom to the buyer in some way. Like coaching in and of itself is a service that's pretty standard, but you're not going to coach every person exactly the same way. You're going to tailor what you're coaching to that person. Okay. The conversations that you're having with that person are going to be different than the conversations that you're having with a different client. So that's what I mean by personalized or customized. Unlike a digital download where I record it once and people can buy that same version of that recording over and over and over again. A virtual concert is where I offer my performance services and people can only see it live once. I do it live once. You pay for a ticket, you get to see me live. That's a service that I am providing to you. It's never going to be the same performance again because it's live. The next time you come to a virtual concert, even if I'm sitting in the same room singing the same songs, it's going to be different. Because you never know what's going to happen live. The lights might go out. I had that happen once. I might be having a great day. I might be having a poopy one. I might have a special guest. Or if it's virtual, I might open up the chat and do a Q&A. And because there's different people in the audience, the questions and answers are likely to be different. So the experience of my services is going to be different each time the service is delivered. Make sure you understand that. It's a service I'm providing. Even if it's a performance, even if it's a painting, I'm providing the service of creating this painting specifically for you. So commissions, that kind of a thing. All right. Chaotics often do well with a one-to-one service-based model because they can be very boutique, high touch, and really over-deliver with personalization and making things very experiential. But, and this is a big warning, you need to make sure that you have priced your services high enough to feel good about the investment of the time and energy that you're giving in return. Charging too little because you want to give, give, give is a common trap for chaotic creatives. And it's something that you need to get over. People are willing to pay for the extras that you want to provide if you're approaching the right audience. So bill them accordingly. It's okay to do some good in the world and make good money. And if you don't, you're going to find yourself burned out, overwhelmed, exhausted, resentful of your clients, resentful of work that you love because you're serving the wrong market and you're underpricing your offers. Jen Steer, owner of On Your Face Glasses, is a chaotic creative entrepreneur that sells designer eyeglass frames from top independent designers. Now, she provides a full-service, end-to-end, concierge-type experience, from shipping you frames to try before you buy, to helping you find the right look and best fit, and then even after the sale, making sure that your glasses are 100% exactly what you need them to be, that they look like you, they feel good on your face, the whole nine yards. Okay, that is an incredible service, and it has value. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into curating the styles from these independent designers that Jen works with. Not to mention the time that Jen takes to really care for her clients. She's not just selling you a piece of plastic to sit on your face and hold your lenses in place. She's selling a unique eyewear buying experience. You don't have to leave your house to browse racks of ugly frames that look like every other ugly frame from the mass market suppliers. You get to take your time in the comfort of your own home, with the help of a professional, to know that you're not buying another pair of fugly glasses that are gonna make you look ghastly. Instead, you get to find a fit and a style that reflect who you truly are. And these frames are never gonna end up in a junk drawer or lost in the bottom of your purse somewhere, not that I've ever had that experience before, because you're gonna love these glasses, and you're gonna love the way you look in them. And I have never even bought a pair of glasses from Jen. I just know this about her, okay? I know that this is the experience that she provides to people. I don't get paid to talk about her this way. I just really am like, this is a classic example of a chaotic creative who provides a very boutique experience. Now, at one time, she was just selling the frames and offering her style services for free as part of the concierge eyeglass buying experience. That would be a product-based model. I just sell frames, okay? We'll talk about that later. But she recently told me that she's gonna start charging for her services so that whether or not you buy her frames, these wonderful designer frames, she's still getting paid for the service of taking supremely good care of you as you find the fit and style of your dreams for your face. Okay, she's offering a truly personalized experience, a service that's going to help you size, fit, and style the right frames for you, for your brand, for your look, for your feel. They are going to be an extension of who you are rather than my experience of glasses, which was hideous. Walked into the eyeglass place, got my lenses face fitted. They're like, here's a selection of 7 frames that your insurance will pay for. And I'm like, these are all hideous. I'll pick the least hideous ones. That's not working with Jen's experience is completely different. And people will pay for that difference. Now, that's not for everybody, clearly. But for the right people, this is a wonderful experience that Jen gets to provide for them. It's a wonderful service that Jen gets to provide for them. This is something she cannot do in a group environment. It's very boutique. It's very one-to-one. And a service like that can't come cheap because Jen's time is precious. When you choose to work with one person, you have to say no to somebody else. That's an opportunity cost. We've talked about that in other episodes. Yes, Jen needs to cover her hard costs for the frames and the shipping, but also the time it takes to curate those designs. She works with independent designers, so she has to go find them, cultivate relationships with them, negotiate pricing and terms with them. Then she has to sit with her clients for several hours over the course of the buying experience. They get the initial consultation, then they get that trial shipment, they get to try them on, suggestions are made, the fit and the style consultation are handled. Like, there is a lot of time involved for you to buy a pair of frames. So there's no way she could cover all her costs if she only made her money selling retail. Because there would be people who would show up and go, this has been a really great experience and I've decided I'm not gonna buy any of your frames. Now she's put all of this time and energy out and no return on her investment, okay? She'd be lucky to make $20 to $50 an hour at that rate, and I mean lucky, and that's gross, not take home. She'd still have to pull her expenses off that. And if she's using a profit first model, she's taking home about half that, like $12.50 to $25 an hour at best. That is not gonna cut it as a business owner. So it makes sense to charge a few hundred dollars for the concierge experience, the service of taking supremely good care of them during their eyewear buying experience. Now, during her transition from product-based to service-based, Jen might consider applying a portion of that investment toward the frames to encourage her existing clients to buy two pairs instead of one. Or maybe she's a little nervous that they might all leave her. So, hey, I'll apply a portion of your concierge fee to the lenses. I mean, to the frames. Okay, cool. All right. These are options that she has available to her. And she doesn't have to do any of that because the choice is hers. It's her business. We've got options. Woohoo! Okay, and here's the other thing that's important to remember. Will raising Jen's rates limit the number of people who can afford to work with her? Yup. But remember our episode on niching. The people who want that level of care are willing to and often expect to pay more for the experience of concierge service. Now, people who could care less about that level of service aren't her right customers and probably wouldn't buy the kind of frames that she's selling anyways. People who shop the quickie discount hut are not her right audience. Her audience is going to be people who care about how their glasses look on their face and what their glasses say about them and their personality. If it matters that much to them, they need Jen. It's not just a want, it's a need. And that's the reason you can charge a premium for a boutique service, even if it seems like a luxury, like designer frames might be to some people. Linears want leverage and volume. Because numbers matter to linears. You're going to be focused on one-to-many events, corporate accounts, certification programs, or licensing your intellectual property through a train-the-trainer kind of offer. And that doesn't always mean charging less, because a train-the-trainer offer can be tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars per person. But if you're angling for mass market numbers, your pricing will likely be lower than a comparable boutique one-on-one offer. So, for example, a boutique train-the-trainer, which would be one-on-one and very intensive, versus a group train-the-trainer, which would be like a room full of people all going through a certification program. One linear I know offers a certification program tied to their intellectual property, and he charges a higher fee for the in-person multi-day training than he does for the online version of his certification program. Now, the end result for the person getting the certification is the same, whether they go in person or do it online. But the level of personal interaction is completely different in the three-day environment. And so he charges accordingly because they're going to get that one-on-one FaceTime with him. And he still gets substantially more people going through the online program because that's where he drives the most of his traffic. And he'd never get a day off if he ran the certifications in person all the time, because he has a limited capacity for himself energetically and for the training room in which he provides these certification programs, right? Like, he can go all over the country, but there's still only so many days in a year and so much of his personal time that he can invest in training people one-on-one. That's why he developed the online program. In the online environment, that cap is removed. So he can afford to lower his rate and automate his way to more certifications for his programs. Now, fusions, you need a crowd. So one-to-many offers do suit you. And that can be in-person, like performing on stage, or teaching a class, facilitating masterminds, group coaching, someplace where you can provide your service to more than one person at a time. Okay? You're not necessarily looking for max market numbers like linears will, because you still like a little of that experiential, hand-holding, touchy-feely stuff that is what chaotics are really known for. But you kind of, like fusions often do, we split the difference, right? And here's the thing. You will probably start by delivering your services in a one-to-one environment, but you'll never feel like you're reaching enough people with one-to-one offers, even though you're good at it. Like I said before, just because you're good at it doesn't mean you should be doing it. One-on-one or small group is a great way to test new offers before casting a wider net to reach more of the people that you're here to serve. Just remember, you've got to honor what works for you. Now, there are pros and cons to service-based models. On one hand, this is the easiest way to test out your business plan, your niche, your passion. Okay, it typically carries the least amount of overhead. You don't need to spend a whole lot of money to get this thing started or to keep it moving in the beginning. And as you grow, you're going to be spending money on continuing education, expanding your team. And so then your pricing should reflect that growth. And you'll probably want to check out some previous episodes that we've done on pricing to get more coverage on that topic. Now, on the other hand, the cons It's more time consuming to produce and deliver a service each time, because you got to show up each time and deliver it each time, than for other business models. Templates and systems can only take you so far because you're still the one delivering the service. Scaling a service-based business can prove difficult, and it requires lots of creativity because you alone are the driving force behind the business. You're the one that's making everything happen. Even a train the trainer offer keeps you training the trainers and actively working inside the business. Now, you could develop an agency and bring on others to help you scale or franchise things so that you can eventually extricate yourself from the day-to-day operations, but that's usually more than a few years off from where you are when you're just getting started. We don't start right away going, I'm going to franchise. It's like, well, I got to test my ideas. I got to figure stuff out. And then maybe somewhere down the line, we'll get to that franchising thing. So the second model to consider is a product-based business model. Now this, just like it sounds, is where you provide a product in exchange for money. Okay? Art, music, fashion, food, online courses, books, other tangible stuff. This is how direct sales works. You offer a product from a catalog to the buyer. If you're a home party consultant, you may think, well, wait, that means my parties are a service, right? Well, they can be. And you could charge for them separately from the products that you sell. I know people who've done that, but you can only do that if your company allows it, and you'll want to check with your corporate compliance to be sure. But yeah, your party is a service, and then the stuff they buy is a product. Absolutely. Now, for you fine artists, how does this differ from a service-based model? Because essentially, you're offering the end result, right? But you still had to create it, okay, the artwork. Instead of your specific skills, which is the service piece, and the time to create the art, that's the service piece, you're offering just the end result. So here's a great example. Dale Chihuly, all right? He has built a product-based business model where he hardly even touches the art that has his name on it. He comes up with a concept, and his studio team makes almost everything, according to his specifications, of course, but not much is being made with Dale's own hands anymore. So Dale's brand name is on things, they're Dale's ideas, but it's his team that's creating the content, or create the content, the art, and the output, and he is selling it. His company is selling the output, okay? Now, chaotics. This is one of those, it sounds sexy, models for you. You've got lots of ideas, you want to create, all right? But remember that any product that you're creating still needs to center around creating an experience that tugs at emotions. You're not likely to be selling commodities, but rather handcrafted, finely curated, exceptional works of art that have a fascinating story, or maybe rare, quirky, unusual merch that connects to the movement that you're making, like one-of-a-kind hand-carved jewelry, fountain pens, or some other conversation piece. You want people talking about the experience of interacting with your brand. That's what products do for chaotics. Linears in the product model are, again, looking at volume, scale, and ubiquity. They want to be everywhere. Your products are probably more mass market or mastige, like Body Shop. They're not a generic store brand, but they're also not the luxury high end either, right? They're like shoot right down the middle. Fusions are a mix of both. So books and music can be mass market, but they can also create an experience that tugs at your emotions. Also, like chaotics, you may be offering merchandise related to the movement that you're creating, but it's probably less unusual and more typical. Things like t-shirts or hats or cups. Why? Because they are scalable revenue streams that are easy to manage and source. You don't want to spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out how you're going to get your thing made, right? You're looking for differentiation, but you're not trying to create a totally new experience like chaotics might. A chaotic would be like, I'm going to create this CD and it's going to be a wagon wheel. And when you open it up, it does all these things. And now they got to figure out where they're going to go to have this wagon wheel sourced and created. And like, they're going to spend all this time trying to make it look and feel a certain way. Fusions are just like, look, I need to sell a CD. Where can I find this and get it done? like keep it basic, keep it simple, and just roll with it, right? Like that's how we're wired. Now, for the pros and cons, product-based business models can be more easily scaled since one product can be replicated over and over and over and sold to more than one client or customer at a time. It can also be easier to sell since customers and clients will have clarity and a tangible physical thing that they can touch and feel or see and hear in the case of virtual products like online courses and things like that, okay? But there's no doubt about what it is that you're selling to them. They're gonna get a book, a bar of soap, a can of beans, etc. Once you're out of the research and development phase, you're gonna spend way less time on product creation than you will on service delivery. But your upfront costs, including your time and the resources to make whatever it is that you're making, are usually higher. There's the cost of research and development, including rehearsal time, test versions of the art you're making, or even editing for you writers out there. All that stuff counts as R&D, and R&D takes time, even if it doesn't cost you any money. Sourcing and buying materials, manufacturing your products, paying for the delivery platform for those products can be costly, and those usually aren't one-time expenditures like they can be with service-based businesses. And then you still got to organize, maintain, and warehouse your inventory of tangible stuff. It can get downright overwhelming. And most creatives I know don't want to build a warehouse to store their work. That's part of why on-demand services have become so popular in recent years, like print on demand. You can make one or two at a time and only pay for what you're actually selling. The downside is that on-demand pricing is usually a little bit higher, and you're usually limited to whatever formats they have available at the provider for you to choose from. And that makes it hard to innovate or create something that's truly unique. If you want something truly unique, you're going to have to buy it in bulk and then warehouse it. So our last model is the hybrid model. Now, this is one that involves both service and product-based offers. You knew this was coming, right? Like, this is not a surprise. So yes, of course, you can have a combination of service-based and product-based offers in your business. Remember Jen, who sells designer eyewear and offers a concierge styling service? That is a hybrid business model. You sell frames, you sell services to help them figure out which frames are right for them. That's hybrid, okay? Or turning home parties into an experience that you can charge for in addition to the products you sell from your catalog, okay? That's also a way to develop a hybrid business model. Other examples, like a hairdresser who also sells the hair care products that they use, a life coach that sells an online course, a nutritionist that has a book, or a business coach to creatives that also writes and records music, books, performs on the air, on stage, on screen. That's me, just in case you weren't sure. Yes, I have a hybrid business model. The Creative Freedom brand isn't just one piece of my business model. It's a big piece, but it's not the only piece. And to be clear, this is a model that's developed and evolved for more than 25 years. Okay, in the online world, I've been online for coming up on 30 years now, right? I started as a direct seller, and then I wrote a book and started training other direct sellers who weren't on my team, okay? That workbook you can't find anywhere anymore. If you have one, you are one of the select few. That then evolved into a coaching practice that served thousands of different types of business owners over the years. And from that, I've written multiple books, two of which are international bestsellers. I'm working on number three right now. I've recorded three albums, and we're working on number four. I've spoken on stages, big and small, around the country. And I've been a virtual guest on international stages as well. I've done a lot. I do a lot. Okay? And I've offered a lot over the years. Some of it products, some of it services. Now I've got a fairly healthy mix of products and services, from coaching and consulting and performances on the service side to online courses, books, and music on the product side. Now I can almost see the dollar signs in your eyes, but remember that the pros and cons for each creative type are even more important when you jump into a hybrid model. In fact, I don't recommend that anybody starts with a hybrid business model because there are too many moving parts and pieces. Starting a business with just one model, which is not the same as starting with just one offer, okay, not just one product, but like one model. You're either going to do services or you're going to do products to start, okay? Just pick one place and start there, okay? That is important. That's going to allow you to see what works for you and what doesn't, what needs tweaking, what needs work, what you can keep. That's going to help you test your niche. It's going to give you enough information to know if you need to pivot before you're tracking an inventory of offers that end up falling flat. Believe me, I have failed a lot along the way, which helped me learn and grow into the business model that I have now. But I couldn't have started here. That would have been way too overwhelming, very frustrating. A hybrid model is especially good for creative entrepreneurs that enjoy the one-on-one with their customers and clients and still want the more passive-ish income of a product-based model. Because it's more easily scalable, you'll have more freedom to explore your full range of creativity inside your business. And yes, Fusions, I'm talking to you. As a Fusion myself, who knows that you can't just pick one thing to run with forever, a hybrid model gives you the outlets that you need to play and explore without putting a lot of pressure on any one thing to be your livelihood. And that's something that we've talked about in episode one this season. But, and I can't stress this enough, trying to do too much too soon is only going to cause you to feel overwhelmed, to resent your business, and to want to strike a match and burn it all down. Okay? Not that I speak from experience or anything. I have wanted to burn it down several times in my career, and sometimes I do burn it all down. But in recent years, I've learned the value of making small shifts so that evolutions can come with less stress and strain on my own well-being, right? You strike a match, you burn it all down, you've got the trauma of having to deal with the ashes versus small shifts that help you reconnect and realign and keep yourself moving towards your center, which happens gradually over time. That's way less stressful, way less taxing on your emotional load, definitely. So, which kind of business model is right for you? We put together a handy dandy cheat sheet for this episode, and it's already live and waiting for you in the Rising Tide member area. So just pop on over, click the Rising Tide link on the website, get your member account if you don't already have one. If you do, then just log in and you can access the free learning library. Go to this episode, episode 3, season 6, and you'll find the bonus materials link. Click on that and you will get to the handy dandy cheat sheet. And it's a great opportunity for you to sit with and think about, what do I really want to be offering to people? Who are my right people? And what are they going to be most in need of and most responsive to? What are they going to most appreciate? Like, one of the reasons why we started doing these cheat sheets and content upgrades, that's the fancy word they use in the online marketing world. But one of the reasons we did that was because people were asking us, how do we apply this? You're giving us great information, but I wish I had something I could hold on to. So we created things for people to hold on to, right? That's because of what we were hearing our people say to us, because we were listening to them and saying, okay, this is something that they want. This is a way that we can offer it, right? I'm not just doing everything that everybody tells me to do or tells me that they want. I'm like, how can I do this in a way that works for me and still serves them? That's what we're talking about all season in Creative Freedom this year. So as I said early in this episode, the goal isn't to get married to a business model. It's about trying on a business model, playing with it for a while to see what fits you. Remember, you're building a business that supports who you are and how you best show up in the world. One that gives you the creative freedom that you crave and the time, the money, the energy to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Thank you for helping us make a bigger impact in the world. We appreciate our sponsors and patrons and every like, share, tweet, follow, and review that you give about the Creative Freedom Show. We are still one of the fastest growing shows for creative entrepreneurs because of your help. Please don't stop. Keep it coming. Thank you. Next time, we're going to be chatting about how to set your business plan for the next 12 months. I know it's not the new year anymore, but so many folks have already fallen off their New Year's resolutions and gotten off the goal setting wagon. This is the time, right? And it works whether you're starting at the new year or any time of year. I've got some great tips for you, so make sure to join me then. And be sure that you're subscribed to our show to get notifications about our upcoming episodes. I sure hope that we're going to see you there. And until then, for more inspiration and education to help you get off the hamster wheel of hustle and own your dreams without selling your soul, come on and see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to.